Blog Talk Radio.
The HD View.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the HD View. This is Melissa Biliardi, your host, and tonight our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. That's our toll-free call-in. Press 1, and we'll cue you into the show. Please tell all your friends and family about Health for HD Radio and click follow on our show page to get email reminders of upcoming episodes. We are literally at 4,000 listeners today, so thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you for your interest and help for HD programming. Today, our incredible special guest is Dr. Ellen Feigl. She is Senior Vice President, Research and Development at CIRM, the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine. It's been 2 years since we've had her on the show. I can't believe it. We are so happy to have her back with us. She has quite a background with global development at Amgen. She also was adjunct professor and founding director of the American Course on Drug Development and Regulatory Sciences, UC San Francisco School of Pharmacy. Just an amazing career, and we're so happy and proud to have her back. Dr. Feigl, welcome back. How are you today?
Oh, well, thank you. I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Now, we've been hearing some very interesting stuff about alpha stem cell clinics at CIRM, and we'd love to have you talk about that, but let's get some updates on CIRM. What is going on at CIRM?
Oh, there's a lot going on at CIRM. Actually, this week we have one of our big public board meetings taking place on Thursday. Going to be giving an update on where we are with all of our development projects. In addition, there'll be new initiatives that are going to be presented. And for those of you who don't know, we have a public website where we put all this information out there for the public to view. So people are maybe at the end of the show, Melissa, you can give the website for us. But basically, there's a lot happening. We're advancing the science towards patients. We actually have 2 actively enrolling clinical trials. We expect 8 more before the end of the year to be enrolling patients. And so we have a lot of exciting things going on.
And not just for HD. we know that there's lots going on for other disease categories as well.
We right now, we have over $30 million that are invested in Huntington's disease research. That does include one of our disease teams, Dr. Wheelock at UC Davis,
yes,
and Dr. Nola, Nolta. And so they're working on an approach. I know they've already launched their what's called an observational trial, where patients with Huntington's disease can enroll and they're followed in terms of looking at their how they're doing and trying to collect information that could eventually be useful for a treatment trial. So I know that's already been launched, and they're actively working on research to try and see what they can do to get things ready for a treatment trial. In addition, we're very excited for them as well. And in addition, there are a variety of other types of research studies going on, trying to identify different types of therapeutic approaches for patients with HD. Also, trying to figure out ways to use the patient's own cells to see whether or not we can better understand the disease and maybe discover drugs or molecules that could help them. So we're actively looking on a variety of approaches to try and help patients with HD. But in addition, as you know, we're working on a variety of other diseases, some very common, some quite rare. So we're working on, the therapeutic area of diabetes. We've got a lot of exciting work going on there. We're working in the area of congestive heart failure. We've got a trial enrolling patients right now onto that trial. And we have a trial enrolling patients right now with HIV/AIDS. And then, as I said, we have about seven other different approaches that are going to be starting later this year.
That's awesome. Now, this the pre-cell is the observational study for HD. Now, is this the first clinical trial that CIRM has funded for stem cell?
Well, actually,
potentially stem cell?
Well, actually, we've got two other trials that are actively enrolling that I just mentioned, the one in congestive heart failure and then the other in HIV/AIDS. And then this, what we call an observational trial, is also part of CIRM funding. And that doesn't have a treatment component, right? It's basically getting surveys answered and questionnaires and following the patients, but the information gleaned could be helpful for a eventual treatment trial in HD.
Now, you were present at the World Stem Cell Summit, is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there were a lot of connections made there.
Yeah, that was a great meeting. That was in California this year, and I actually interacted on several panels. One of the panels I was on was actually very involved with how you work with the FDA and the regulatory agency. And so that was talking about when you're talking about trying to get a new treatment to patients, the FDA is the body in the United States that reviews whether or not you get to take your trial into patients. So it's important to understand that pathway. It's important to have a good interactions with them, and so that was a very informative meeting. In addition, there were a variety of new types of connections and interactions that were taking place at that meeting. So it was a very, very, very good meeting.
Yeah. What role do you think the patient advocates play in all this science and research and potential, clinical trials?
Patients play a vital and a critical and important role. I think you're aware, or your public might be aware, maybe not, that CIRM actually has a history of actually being created, as you know, by patients, by the public. That's the whole reason why the agency was even created.
Right.
was really, it was a movement by the public, including patients. And we have a very broad representation of patients on our oversight board for the agency. They're also involved in a variety of really most of the activities across the entire institute. We also have public meetings with patients and patient groups that are taking place. You can find those on our public website. But we try and travel around the country, around the state, to make sure that there's a window for people to come in and talk to the agency about different issues that are on their mind, and to hear updates about what's going on with the agency. But I would say, in a global way, patients are just a really critical piece of everything we
right.
do with moving the science forward. In one of our new initiatives coming up, the Alpha Stem Cell Clinic, which, by the way, the applications for this are coming in on Friday. It's
Ooh.
Going to be reviewed in June, and this is going to be a whole new clinical infrastructure across the state of California to have a
wow.
really effective, efficient place where stem cell-based clinical trials can be conducted. So in addition to our agency funding individual research projects, we've been spending a lot of time thinking about the infrastructure to sustain the field and to basically planning for success. And so this clinical infrastructure is going to be, as I said, reviewed in just the next few months. And then once launched, it will actually provide a network within the state of California that can connect with networks across the state or internationally to conduct stem cell-based clinical trials. It's going to be a really important, I think, infrastructure for patients to interact with and people to interact with, because we're going to have information that we're going to make available in a, what we hope will be a patient-friendly, public-friendly way to give information about clinical trials and what they are and what the scope and amount of activity are, both within the state and elsewhere for clinical trials. And in addition, it's going to serve as a way for researchers and investigators can interact with each other as part of a network. So we're hoping that this will really be a new paradigm for how these types of networks can form. It's very unusual. It's based on a technology rather than a particular disease, and will go across a variety of diseases, but presumably clinical trials in Huntington's disease could be part of this network as well.
Well, we would love to be part of that. In fact, our Vice President of Operations, Katie Jackson, is a huge stem cell advocate. HealthReach International, that's why we chose her, is because we are very big on, you know, stem cell research. We promote it. We feel like it's the new generation for cures and therapies and treatments for our disease category as well as others. But, of course, we're focused on HD. But, you know, we at HealthReach International are very interested in helping all institutions and, you know, areas of science. Our clinical trial support platform, it was just launched this January. We have, you know, our communications is very vast. We have a humongous reach. And so, you know, if we could help you in any way, we would love to with that. You know, our radio show is 83,000 listeners. Our mobile app, we have 20,000 active users. We have a huge reach and can get information out to the community in a very rapid way. And, gosh, this is exciting. We're very thrilled about the Alpha Stem Cell Clinics, and we would love to play a part in helping to get that information out. You had mentioned workshops, and I would be very happy to learn more about workshops that you might be having.
Well, we have a variety of conferences that are coming up, but I think there's we have a variety of different ways that we interact, not just with patients, but also with industry, with other investigators within the state and across the country and internationally. There's an upcoming forum that's taking place about how investigators can work within academics, but also within companies and industry, because at the end of the day, what we're trying to do with our research is, collect the information so that we can show not just the therapy is safe, but that it can work, and that if it's working, we want to make sure that it gets out there to the patients who need it. So there's going to be this great need and interest to have those company connections to commercialize mm-hmm. these types of therapies. So there's a forum, actually it's taking place in Washington, took place in Washington, where we had a lot of the convening of industry and academics. We recently had an ethics workshop where we talked about, this took place in Berkeley just the other week, that we organized. We worked with the National Institutes of Health and the Center of Genomics and Policy at McGill University. And we were talking about the issues about informed consent and donate in this particular instance, really talking about donating tissue or donating blood to tissue banks or blood banks. And for us, it was in particular for our stem cell bank, where we're trying to better understand disease and better identify new targets for diseases. Okay. So that was a very good meeting, and we had a lot of patient input into the types of issues that would be important from the patient perspective. So we talked about the patient perspective as well as the research perspective. So that was a very good workshop. We've got a meeting that's taking place next week in San Diego, the 4th International Conference on Stem Cell Engineering. So this is very exciting work on tissue engineering and talking about the different ways to use stem cells with devices. And, for example, mm-hmm. trying to regenerate muscle, blood vessels, nerve cells, a variety of different cells. And so that's taking place next week in San Diego. There's also a Keystone Symposium on stem cells and reprogramming that's taking place in April, where we're really talking about some of the issues involved with stem cell development. And then there's a Regenerative Medicine Foundation conference in May, where we're co-sponsoring a conference that's focused on some of the advances in product development and the latest research discoveries. And we're bringing in global experts, university researchers, different leaders working with governments and biotech and medical device and mm-hmm. venture capitalists. There's a meeting taking place. Actually, NATO is sponsoring it. They're doing a whole workshop on regenerative medicine focused on the wounded warrior. And some of the work that we do might be relevant, particularly regarding work that we're doing on limb ischemia. And there's other work that people are doing working on brain trauma. And anyway, there's a lot of good meetings that are going to help inform how we move that science forward to patients. But in addition, what I was saying is for the patient-specific workshops, we'll be listing those on our website, and I'd be happy to forward that to you, Melissa.
Oh, yes.
So
we'd
that
love to
people,
hear about that.
People who want to come to it, we'd welcome them. And also all of our I know it's difficult for many people to travel, but all of our board meetings are in the public. They're public mm-hmm. meetings, and we have different locations where people can listen in and get access to the material. So mm-hmm. lots going on in terms of workshops and conferences.
Yeah. Now, getting back to the workshops with patients, has there been a kind of trend in, especially in dealing with informed consent, has there been a trend in involving the caregivers, patient consideration? Because I know with our disease category, a lot of times our caregivers are the ones who are actually giving the informed consent or facilitating the informed consent and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a very important point, Melissa. And mm-hmm. the caregivers that are involved, family members that are involved with the care of the patient or with relatives, that's a very important perspective to take into mind. So that's something mm-hmm. not just with the informed consent, but even just in terms of how we put together clinical trials and what's doable and what's practical and what are the important issues that, you know, would be important to focus on that could be helpful for the entire sort of environment in which that patient mm-hmm. needs to work and function and live.
Well, especially with neurodegenerative diseases, I mean, you know, you have a point in time when the patient is still viable for a clinical trial, but yet the consent is not as easily understandable to them, you know, and if you have the caregiver involved and the caregiver is able to, you know, do the informed consent and manage the clinical trial participation in that way. I know what we've really found since 2010, you know, when I first started the radio show, our whole focus has been on research and clinical trial education, because there just seemed to be a lack of bridging of that communication from, you know, science and industry to our, you know, our community. And so that's what we've worked really, really hard at, is to bridge that communication. And, you know, 84,000 listeners later, I think we're starting to really see, at least from the perspective of our community members that have responded, you know, with emails and messages and, you know, attaboys, that they really, really appreciate learning what industry and science is doing. And, you know, who would have known 4 years ago that, you know, CIRM, you know, is funding stem cell trials and stem cell observational trials. And, I mean, our community just didn't have that information. So we are so thankful to you for bringing that to us, and we would love to stay, you know, really in contact with everything that's going on. We'd love to have links on our websites and continue with information about workshops and patient and caregiver participation in your meetings. I know Katie's really involved in that, and she's able to give us a lot of information too. So thank you. I so appreciate that. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is the sustainability and the possibility of new bond initiatives for CIRM. CIRM started in what year was it?
Well, CIRM was created in 2004 with the November elections, but the money actually got tied up until about 2006. So that's when the money started being able to be used. So we're about 8 years now into the funding of CIRM. But it wasn't until actually 2009, 2010, till we started, you know, because the first part of it was really bringing in, you know, even safe havens to do the research. It was at a time when there were federal restrictions, you know, even in the building in which you worked, right? So some of these facilities needed to be built to basically provide safe havens to do the work. And bring in the people who actually some of the real thought leaders and the research leaders into the state, and then seeding the field with these new ideas. And then starting about 2009, you know, we started working on the translational piece, you know, of going beyond the lab to really thinking about how can this be translated to people with disease, you know, tackling these really hard diseases like HD and some of these other diseases that I've talked about, and really making an impactful change, not just an incremental change. And in 2010, we started our disease teams, and I don't think of course we all hoped, but we are just incredibly excited that within a relatively short space of time in product development, it seems like ages, I know, for patients, but in a relatively short amount of time, I mean, we've got 10, you know, we're talking about 10 clinical trials, you know, by the end of 2014, and we're already enrolling on the two treatment trials, and we're already enrolling, you know, individuals on the HD clinical trial. So That's very exciting. So sustainability is certainly something we want to do. The reason why this agency was put together was to advance the science towards potential cures for patients who have these, you know, very serious, either debilitating or very life-threatening diseases and injuries. So we're making progress on that road to cures. And but it's going to take sustainability, and that's why it's so important for us to give updates about what we're doing, so that people know that actually a lot of progress is taking place, and that these clinical trials are reaching patients, and that's a really necessary step on that road to cures. And so, in terms of sustainability, we're certainly looking at possible options for that. And as you know, the former founder of and creator of Proposition 71 that created CIRM is exploring the idea of a bond measure. It's an idea right now. So there's certainly a lot of ideas and thoughts about possible options. Because nobody wants all this good work to fall off a cliff. We all want to be able to continue the necessary work. And that's why I think it's very important for us within CIRM to really communicate what we're doing. And Melissa, for what you do, trying to keep your community informed about what's happening, I think is critically important.
Thank you. I do too. And, you know, we have these shows every week, but, I mean, the shows are up and available to the community 24/7. And, you know, with iTunes, through the app, the Outrage D Mobile app, through our website, through Blog Talk Radio. I mean, at any time of the day or night, you can go to these shows and listen and learn and hear about our amazing, incredible research scientists and about industry that's paying, they're starting to turn their head and pay attention to what is happening to our community and what the needs that we have as far as drug therapies and treatments. And we need a cure, of course, but without clinical trials, without clinical studies, without research, and without the approval of the FDA, we will not have that. So this is a critical step to getting drugs and treatments is the clinical trial, and that's why we're very proud to be working with industry now and providing clinical trial support and through registry and surveys and communications and marketing and PR and all that kind of stuff is really necessary to get the information out to the people. And we feel that, you know, whatever we do has to be sustainable because this particular disease, as with many other diseases, but especially with Huntington's, it's a very long-term, long progression disease. And, you know, there's a lot of care that needs to happen before the completed progression of the disease. There's just many years of, you know, torturous symptoms and horrendous things that our HD families have to deal with. So everything that we do has to be sustainable. But we're here to support you, CIRM. We're here to support our industries. We're here to support clinical trials. And we just feel really strong about that. So
Well, all I was going to add is just the patient voice is the critical voice. I mean, that's the voice everybody listens to, whether you're at a research institute or you're in the halls of Congress or you're at the FDA. People listen to the patient voice, and it can be a very strong voice. And the more people that speak up, that make their thoughts known, you know, the fact is we're all working together on this. It's not, this would go nowhere if it was just scientists talking to scientists. I mean, it's very, very important about the patients and their caregivers and making sure there's a, you know, that their voice is heard. And the thing I was going to mention again with the Alpha Clinic, there's going to be opportunities to interact with CIRM, with that network, to help shape what that looks like in terms of providing information. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities to for those who are interested to be involved.
Awesome. Now, do you think other states will do the same thing? Do you think stem cell?
I think we're just like research. You know, California is a pioneering state. So I think we'll be the leaders. We are the leaders in this, and I think that people will take notice. And you know, our intent is that it will be a central hub for other networks that could go on across the state, across the country, or internationally. But we got to get started. And now it's just a really great time because there is a lot of activity in this area. And as I said, we're planning for success and want to have that high rigor. There's a lot of sort of stuff out there that's called stem cell therapy that really isn't. And so we really want to have a credible, high-quality place that people can go. That you know, people can feel confident that these are you know, outstanding investigators. These are well vetted clinical studies. They're being conducted in a very rigorous way, so that patient safety is really first and thought about. and that they're being done to actually answer some really important questions about whether or not the treatment can work for that patient. And eventually what we see these as is centers of excellence, where once the therapies are approved, it's a place people can go to get the therapy. So we see it sort of scaling to meet the needs and evolve as the science and the clinic evolve.
And do you think the Alpha Stem Cell Clinics will also be key in facilitating the clinical trials?
Yes. I think that that will be. We're right now doing things one-off. We're doing individual projects. And what we see is we're planning this coordination and information management center that's going to coordinate a lot of the work of the network, the clinical sites that actually have the patients coming to those sites. So we see it as a way of extending ourselves beyond CIRM. So other sponsors, they can be funded from different agencies or from might be from other academic sites, other companies, but they will come to California because we've got this place they can go to get their studies conducted. So we see it leveraging what's going on outside of California to bring it into California. So we think that will be a nice magnet for the state to have and enable not just CIRM-funded projects, but a variety of different projects to take place in a high-quality way. So
that's
that means
amazing.
More access. That will be more access to Californians to exciting studies that are going on.
Well, and potentially world travelers too, right?
Absolutely, they can tour.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
can tour back here in California.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We might
so
have
I think there's a lot of
people coming over.
I think it's, and for a good reason, because we have something to offer. And I think,
right.
You know, putting something in place like this, this is the right time, it's the right place, we've got the right people, and, you know, who've got that mission orientation, you know, that there really is a sense of urgency to advance the best things we have towards patients. So I think this will be a very nice attractant for the state.
Well, and we have federal backing now too, right? Whereas before, the federal government was not so much on board, but now they are. Is that true? That's a true statement?
Well, we still are the largest funder of stem cell-based research in the world. But at this point, the politics have certainly eased the restrictions. What's great about what we do at CIRM is we're not buffeted by the politics, you know, for the term certainly of the proposition being out here. And so I think there's always that level of uncertainty with, you know, outside of California, how things take place. But I certainly think here at this current time, absolutely, there's a lot of activity going on both within the state and outside the state, and we're trying to leverage and collaborate with that as much as possible. Because I don't think any of us want to reinvent the wheel.
No, we do not want to do that. And don't you think that it's really all depends on education? Because there's so much misinformation about stem cell out there still, even though, you know, you've been doing this for how many years now with CIRM? I mean, it still seems like there's a lot of misinformation about what exactly is stem cell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that's still kind of a stigma that has kind of stuck around
a little bit? I think what we're trying to do, stem cells, I think just information, you know, anything to do with science or health is always a challenging area to communicate in. And so whatever we can do to try and make that connection clearer is what we're trying to do, and we'll work with all kinds of groups who are trying to communicate clearly about what's happening and what's going on, and be accurate about what we're saying. And so we certainly try to do that. We try and put out user-friendly brochures and newsletters, try and speak clearly about what we're doing and why we're doing it, and why you should care. And but I do think education is a very education and communication is a very important piece.
Yep.
So once again, so accentuating why it's so important what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Could you say that again? No, I'm just kidding.
I will say it as many times as you want me to.
We've only been around since 2010 doing the show, but we do so much more than just the show. We have so much more to offer. And if there's anything that we, again, I just want to extend my hand to you. If there's anything that Health for HD International can do to help CIRM with alpha clinics or, you know, clinical trial support or patient advocacy or caregiver advocacy, we're here for you. And so is Katie. She's there for you too. So just really appreciate you coming back on the show and giving us this great information. And we will look forward to really hearing some more good news coming out of CIRM. Was there anything that we didn't cover today that you...
All I'm going to do is I'll just send you a list of the meetings with patients, because you and your group and community might be interested in that. So after the show, I can get that for you. And I just stay engaged as you always are, and that's probably the most helpful thing that anybody can do, is to stay engaged. And and thank you again.
Oh, thank you. Well, you have a great rest of the year. We're just starting out, but it sounds like you've got lots and lots of stuff to do this year. And we'll go ahead and conclude the show. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening, for tuning in. Of course, the show will be available. It's going to be archived. So please send all your friends and family, your colleagues, to the link and listen in. And thank you again, Dr. Feigl. And come back, everyone. Come back next week. We'll have another show on Tuesday. And also get the free app, the Health for HD app, the original mobile connection to education, resources and information about JHD and HD. You can find us on Facebook, Health for HD, or go to our website, healthforhd-international.org. And everybody have a great week. Talk to you next Tuesday.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
That you settled down, that you found a girl and you married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you. Couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I'll remember you. You know. excited. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never. Nothing compares, no worries or cares, regrets and mistakes, their memories made. Who would have known how bittersweet this would taste? Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the sometimes it hurts.